that you wash in my.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Dr. Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today, friends. God bless you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your day to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We are going to hear something now. I just preached last Sunday, and I'll leave it up to you to see how it ministers to you. It certainly was well received at the church. We're looking at Jesus' high priestly prayer. We're in the Gospel of John today. We're going to look at the entire chapter 17. This truly is the Lord's Prayer. Not so much as the short prayer He taught His disciples to pray. This is, we're going right to the heart of the matter. We're going to see and be flies on the wall in an intimate prayer between the Father and the Son. That's where we're at today. Speaking of today, I invite you out to church here tonight. At 6 o'clock, we will be in Revelation chapter 17, back in the Word of God, verse by verse, and blackboard will be back out. I'm teaching, looking at the destruction of Babylon. We're closing in here toward the end of the book of Revelation, and I invite you to come by. If you are tuned in now at 5:30, we're just about 28 minutes away from our Bible study tonight. Why don't you come on by, grab a cup of coffee here, bring your Bible with you, and you'll be more than comfortable at our church. If not, you can join us online, either at the app, Island Community Church, FL. You can download the app, or join us on Island Community Church's Facebook page. Either place, it'll be broadcasting live at 6 o'clock. Okay, here's part one of this message. Now, Jesus is going to pray for Himself. Then He's going to pray for His disciples. And lastly, in this chapter, He'll pray for us. As He put it, all those who will believe. So that's where we're at. This is part one of two. Let's get started on this message now.
Now, this morning, I want to look at Jesus's high priestly prayer found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. John chapter 17. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes, even as a pastor, I have a difficult time praying. Did you know that? Well, now you know it. Pastor Paul is not Moses. And every time I look at Jesus, I am inspired. And yet I fall so short. The Bible says the night before He picked His 12 apostles, He was up all night in prayer. And this is why I love all of you prayer warriors here at Island. I know there's a few. Luann's one of them. Some prayer warriors, it's almost always women that pray nonstop for people and pray for the church. If there's any prayer warriors in here, please see me after the service. I'm going to put you to work. I'm going to put you to work. Now here this morning, this was the prayer that Jesus prayed the very night before He was condemned to die. The text, again, is found in John, the entire chapter of 17. It's very informative for us seeing how he prayed and what he prayed for. I mean, imagine Jesus having to pray that God would keep Satan from you. You wouldn't think he needed to pray that, would you? But he did. Numerous times. Think of what he said to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has demanded you. But I've prayed for you. Even the Son of God prays for us. He is our intercessor who lives forever to pray. He forever intercedes for us now up in heaven. Thank God. But that's the importance of prayer that we see here. Even in the Sermon on the Mount, it says, give us this day our daily bread. Deliver us from evil. He says, pray that way. Because God answers prayer. Amen. Even the Son of God's prayer, or should we say, especially the Son of God's prayer. Now let's pick this up right from the top. John chapter 17, this text is broken down into three sections. Number one, Jesus prays for himself. Number two, Jesus prays for his disciples. Number three, Jesus prays for you. Friend. And all believers, even you, Wayne. John chapter 17, verse 1. Now Jesus spoke these words. He lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you. As you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. Oh man, this is great. What great theology here. What a great place for theology. What a great place to learn it. No seeming contradictions here, like sometimes we battle with in the gospel. You find this in one book, in one place, in red letters, in your Bible. No greater place for theology than right here, right in front of you. Like the first three chapters of the book of Revelation is some of the greatest places to find theology in the Bible, the first three chapters. Why? Because Jesus is teaching, not somebody else. Okay, now let me continue for a bit. Verse 3. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. By the way, this is the only time he's referred to himself that way, that he's applied the name Christ as if that was his last name. His name's not Jesus Christ. His name is Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. First and only time you'll read that in the Bible. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. Look at this intimate prayer. This is between him and his Father. We're like a fly on the wall here of hearing what God prays to God. It's telling, isn't it? How does God pray to God? We don't know what he prayed when he prayed for the 12. Here you know it. Look again at this. He's talking to the Father. This is eternal. What is eternal life? Believing, baptized, giving money to the church. What is eternal life? That they may know you is eternal life. Eternal life is you knowing who God is. That is eternal life. Do you know God like that? Do you know Jesus like that? That's his prayer. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I've glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work you've given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory that I had with you before the world was. Don't be deceived that Jesus was not some great teacher like people say, or just an all-around nice guy. No, Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He existed with the Father before any of this was, before, let's use his own words, before the world was Jesus. Anarche en ho logos. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word was God. So what can we glean from just these first five verses? Here are seven absolute guaranteed facts directly from the Son of God, from his mouth to your ears. Number one, some of them might seem obvious to you. Number one, heaven is up. In case you were wondering. Number two, God the Father is in heaven and was in heaven. So much for the errors of the modalists and modalism like T.D. Jakes and so many others who deny the Trinity. God the Father, get me here, did not leave his place in heaven and become God the Son. Otherwise, who did he pray to? They're separate persons. Jesus Christ, God the Son, is not God the Father, but he's still God. But he's not the Father. He's not the Father. Praise God. How many times is that in the Bible? Right. 20 times. He finished his work and he sat down. I heard it out of my corner of my ear. Someone said it over there. He sat down at the right hand of God. He's not the Father. Those guys are wrong. Number three, the life and death and crucifixion of the Lord Jesus was all predetermined. Where's that also? Galatians 4:4. It says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. And Acts 4:28 declares that what happened to Jesus was determined before it happened. God the Father didn't look at the Son and say, my stars, what are we going to do? But God called a business meeting. And at that meeting was himself and his Son and the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, also is a person. Amen. God is three persons, one God. That's what we believe here at this church. Called the Trinity. Though you don't find the word in there, we know and believe that God, this Holy Spirit, is God. That's why Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Rosses said it in their wedding here. We witnessed this before the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, who's as much God as anyone else. At this meeting, it was determined that somebody had to die to pay for Paul Esposito's sins. But the only thing is, a man would have to do it. God the Father couldn't do it because God is spirit and he can't die. Neither could the Holy Spirit do it. The Apostle Paul put it this way, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, meaning this isn't even up for discussion or argument, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit, he was seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Amen. So the perfect Son of God would have to die to save my soul and redeem me. That was the plan, predetermined before the foundation of the world. So what else can we learn from this first part? What other great theology can we glean from this? Number four, Jesus, that is the Son, has authority over all flesh. I just read to you the verse, Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and spoke to them and said, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Number five, Jesus has the power and the authority to grant eternal life. He himself can give it to you and will give it to you if you call on his name to be saved. Jesus has the power and the authority to give you eternal life. He doesn't have to ask anyone else for it. He doesn't have to ask his mother for it. He's got the authority. Number six, to have eternal life is to truly know the Father and the Son. So Jesus is saying, once you know me and my Father, once you know me and my Father, this is eternal life. Because you're not going to know him without being born again. It's not going to happen. It comes through spending time. It comes through spending time through realizing when you are weak, then you are strong. Through recognizing that even when you're a sinner, God still loves you. Even that when you make mistakes, God takes your mistakes and turns them into something good. Do you know God like that? What did David say? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Do you know God like that? This is eternal life, knowing God like that. How does that other one go? Psalm 56. When I call out to you, then my enemies will scatter. This I know because God is for me. Do you know God like that? That is eternal life, is knowing that God has got your back. Do you know God? Paul says, what shall we say to these things? If God is for me, who can be against me? Do you know God like that? Amen. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ who loves me. Do you know God like that? See, this is eternal life. It kind of makes you want to walk out of your house and not wear a mask. Am I right? I like that one. Not too long ago, I saw a woman driving down the street, and she had a mask on, and she was like the welder from the Munsters. She had this welding apparatus on her face, and she had her window up, and she's driving down the road. Do you know God? No, those that know God are as bold as a lion, and they're not afraid. They're not afraid. Because those that know God realize that they've hit 35 or 40 or your child is one. It's not because he didn't get a sniffle virus. It's because God has seen to it that he's one. And 35 and 40 and 80 and 90. God is the one that's got you there. Praise God. Don't let a politician take God's glory. A politician's not responsible for you sitting in this church. That makes me mad. Let's move on. But I think we get this point. I've been praying that I would understand this before 10:30. This is eternal life. That we would know God like that. Do you know God like that? Do you have that kind of trust in him this morning? Can you say like the Apostle Paul, and said, if God be for us, who can be against us? Let me encourage you to trust God like that, that he's got your back and he will see you through whatever it is that you're going through. God has got your back today. Thank you. Thank you. Now, let me get a gulp of water before we move on to this next section. I promise not to keep you another hour. Told you I had a long sermon today. The next section is a great example why we are not to take things written or spoken to someone else and say that they are promises for us, because they're not. Some promises are for other people, not for you. Some promises are for you. Some promises, like Paul saying, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Is everyone whose name is written in the book of life. But look how many people have made this grave error of taking somebody else's promises and then claiming it, like they do and like I hear all the time. You see, this is why people fall away from their faith. When their promises don't come true and they think that God is a liar and hasn't kept his promise because they believed in someone, something that wasn't spoken to them. Listen to this entire promise, especially the last verse. I'm in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. Jesus says, I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then verse 20. Then he commanded his disciples that they should tell no one that he was Jesus the Messiah. The great, great mistake of the Catholic Church is to think that this promise extends to them or to any of us for that matter. Look at how this promise does not extend to us. He commanded them that they should tell no one that Jesus was the Messiah. Do you think that promise is yours? Do you think that promise is yours? Of course not. That's what I learned in theology school, was the messianic secret. So that he could travel about Jerusalem and all of Israel without being thronged by crowds. He needed to get from one place to the other. That's why he told them that. That's not your promise. Neither is the one claimed here by the Catholic Church. I can't forgive your sins, Ken. I don't have the authority to. I don't have the power to. Jesus Christ is the one that by his blood forgives your sins. Amen. But he gave these promises to these apostles. They had great supernatural power. I got one here. Darren made me cry with that song. I got one here. It's full of sweat and tears. Now, Paul would sweat in one of these, and then he would take it, and he'd give it to someone.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You're listening to 91.5 FM and 102.3 FM. This is Brevard County's home for the very best in contemporary Christian and modern praise and worship music. WMIE.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with the treasure from the Word.
The devil is the sinister minister of fear. It's hard to serve the Lord with the icy fingers of fear on you. Are you afraid of what the devil may do to you if you take a stand for God? Friend, don't be afraid. Over 365 times, one time for every day in the year, God has said in the Bible, "Fear thou not, be not afraid, be not dismayed. I am thy God, I will strengthen thee." Fear is an insult to God who said, "I will be with thee." Fear will destroy your life. Fear will disturb your friends. Fear is infectious, and fear will delight your foes. Are you a worry wart? One lady said, "Don't tell me it does no good to worry. Most of the things I worry about never come to pass." My, how the devil wants to make us worry and to fill us with dismay. Be not dismayed, whatever betide. God will take care of you. What has God called you to do? If God has called you to do it, don't let the devil intimidate you.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.